We'll be singing out of Songs to Remember, number 6. Good to see all our today. God bless you, and beautiful day to serve the Lord. Number 33. I know I'm saved. Number 60 is the song. Good.
Of my sin.
Amen. Good job. Way to go. Good job. Good job. Thank you.
Thank you, brethren, and Kid, Faye, and Sister Shirley for playing this morning. We're glad to see each and every one out today. We've hope everybody's had a good vacation. I think there's still some out. So we're glad to see each and everybody back home with us, and I hope you've had a good vacation and fall break. But we are glad that everyone has been able to come back to the house of the Lord this morning. I hope you've been blessed in a great way, that you might be able to just come and be a part of our services here at Murfreesboro. We're glad to have all of our visitors with us. Good to see some of ours that have not been able to be with us for a while. We're glad to see them back with us. Miss Janice is one. She's been in Texas for a while. Do you talk like a Texan, ma'am? No. I didn't think you would. But it is good to have her back with us again. We always like seeing Sister Janice with us, and along with the others that have not been able to be with us. And we're just glad that we're able to be in the house of the Lord today. I do have a card that I was asked to read also. He says, thank you all so much for the flowers and the visits during the loss of my grandmother, but mostly thank you for the prayer. Irene, my mom, as it says, lived a long life that was dedicated to God, her family, and church. We know we will see her again one day. Love you all. Jenna, Chad, Luke Mehta. Or whether it's prayers, it's always good for us to try to do for those that lose. We need to be prayerful for our country. We need to be prayerful for those that's lost loved ones. We haven't had anybody to lose a loved one that's in a little bit, and so that's good for us as a church. But we know that death is something that is coming one of these days to all of us, and probably to our families. And so we ought to always keep that in mind, is what we should do. And so let's be always prayerful for those that lose loved ones. We want to get on with our service today. We're glad to have everybody here. Brother Sam will be doing the children's church over here today. So all the kids, head this way to meet with Brother Sam at this time.
Oh, testing, 1, 2. We got our mic going today. Hey, five. Give me five. Okay. I think. Yeah. Well, y'all are a good-looking bunch. Well, you're welcome. I wasn't speaking to you directly, but in general, you are pretty, though. All of you are beautiful. Y'all are great. Everybody had a good week? Uh-huh, yeah. You ready to go back to school tomorrow? Oh, okay, very good. That's right. That's good. All right, I won't keep you too long. I've checked your schedule. Some of us are still sleeping over here, but that's fine. Talk to you about something that has come to us in a verse that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. And we'll repeat the verse at the end here. But he's asking us, or commanding us, to stay away from evil. Evil being bad. Evil being sin. Okay? Saying sin. Now, there's a strong word that's used when, and hopefully I'm sure that some of you have been talked about it. Your parents have talked to you about that it's not good to hate somebody. Right? That's a strong word, right? But if we dislike something very bad, then that's okay, and that's what we want to keep in mind. But you know, Solomon said, y'all know who Solomon was, King Solomon? Who can tell me for the gold star who was Solomon's father? Come on, David, right here. That's right. Been teaching you well. He wrote the book of Proverbs. And he said that in the sixth chapter, he said, you know, he said, there are six things that the Lord hates. And that's a strong word, but, you know, it's real strong. And he went on and said, well, by the way, there's seven things that he hates. Okay, and I won't go into them, but it talks about not telling the truth. Don't tell lies. Talks about treating others like you want to be treated. Don't be mischievous. Don't be, you know, doing things that are bad to anybody or to anything, especially to yourself. But he's basically telling you to behave. You know, that's what we need to do. We've studied the Ten Commandments in this before, right? Who can say them all, the Ten Commandments, real quick? I won't hold you to that. We know what they are. That's for another time. We'll talk about it later. But I believe that you know them. So those are good rules to follow, okay? And if we follow that, then we'll have all kind of good things happen to us. But if God hates something, and by the way, I've never seen in there where it says that God hates a person. He hates things that persons do, bad things. That's what he said. And he's let that be known in a lot of instances, okay? So if God doesn't like it, guess what? That's a hint for us to what? We should look at that in the same manner, okay? So we should stay away from sin. We should not lie. We should not, you know, do those things that the Ten Commandments, you know, tell us not to. But for us to be decent Christians and decent human beings, we need to look at evil and sin as something bad. Now, I'll tell you this. As you get older and you continue to believe that way and live that way and act that way and speak that way, people will look at you that you're different, that you're not going along with popularity, and they won't like you. They won't like you. They may shun you. God will help you in those instances. But don't be camouflaged into the world. What do you normally do when you wear camouflage? Huh? Blend in. Boy, you get two gold stars. You can't be seen. You're blending in with the scenery. And most people associate that with hunting, right? So you don't want to be seen. But we need to stand out in the crowd. We need to abstain from evil. Let's say that. Stand up here. This is the verse. 2 Corinthians 5:22. Abstain, which means to voluntarily stay away from. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Thank you. Y'all have been a great class this morning.
Thank you, Brother Sam, for the good lesson this morning. Appreciate the kids coming up and taking part in this lesson. And it is good for us as adults to also abstain from even the very appearance of evil. Most of us as children of God, say it that way instead of saying Christian, most of the people that are children of God, they blend in with the crowd, is what they do, as Brother Sam said, camouflage themselves. And it's not an easy thing to not blend in, because it's easy for us just to adopt the things that are out there in the world, and we can just like the world, and we're not that light that we're supposed to be. So it's important for us to always be the light of Christ, is what we're supposed to be. If our friends are, I'm going to use it for as young people, if our friends are doing drugs or drinking, we need to shun that. We need to get away from it. If our friends, and this goes for everybody especially, if our friends are constantly lying, it's easy for us to tell a lie sometimes. So we need to shun that. If we're doing things that are ungodly, or if people are doing things that are ungodly around us, we need to leave that ungodly stuff alone. That's what happened a lot there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was a saved man. But when it got time for them to vacate the city, because God was going to destroy it. He couldn't even deliver his own household except for his two daughters. That's all he could bring out, because he'd been vexed by the ways of the world. So it's important for us to abstain from the very appearance of evil.
Amen.
If somebody is doing something that you know is wrong, best thing you can do is back away from them.
Yeah.
They may be a close friend. You may have to tell them, I'm not going to do that anymore.
But that's the best thing you can do, is
back away from those things. That's my little short sermon today. So it's good to see everybody out today. We hope everybody's been blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. And let's just pray that God will be in our service. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? There's still tent revivals that are going on. There's other churches that are still having revivals, and we need to remember them in prayer. We want the Lord to save souls, don't we? We want him to save our children's soul, or the people that come in and out of our church. We want him to save our people's souls. So the best thing we can do is pray for them and for those others, so that they'll pray for us. Got a prayer request on your heart? It's good to see Brother Slick and Miss Barbara back with us today. I was about to forget them. Brother Slick had his surgery, and he's able to get back out with us today. Brother Slick, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Just remain standing right there, please. Number 103, take my hand, precious Lord. How we all need that. Number 103. Amen. Number 234. Number 234. Number 138. Number 138, come on.
Thank you for the beautiful singing this morning. As you know, I very rarely ever get a bottle of water or any water to drink while I preach, but all this stuff is kind of messed up lately, and I guess some of that has got me dried out real good, and so my mouth was pretty dry this morning, so y'all bear with me this morning. But we always want to follow the Lord in every service, so... Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? Always follow what God lays upon your heart. We were blessed last week to see Sister Barbara come forward in the church here and asked to join the Lord's church, and we will baptize her next Sunday, immediately after the preaching part of the service is what we'll do. And so do keep that in mind for next Sunday. We ask that you be prayerful for her and pray that the Lord will help her to be the member that she needs to be at this church. She's been in the Lord's way a long time. She knows how to be a church member, I believe that. But there was an old man that I pastored years ago. He said, so many times we see people, young people, get saved. And then they'll join the church, and we just kind of forget about them. That goes for all of the members. A lot of times they join a church, and we just kind of forget about them. We take it for granted that they're going to know what to do, when to do, and how to do everything. But they need our prayers, is what they do. Whether they're young kids or adult age, either one. It's ones we all need your prayers. And so do continue to remember Sister Barbara and the others that we have been blessed to see join the church in the last little bit. We Well, I'm going to say in the last few years. Maybe I should say that because they're still young in the Lord. And so we need to continue to remember them in our prayers is what we need to do. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to take you about three different places before we start trying to preach this morning. But we're going to start with Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter is where I'm going to start at. And once you get turned there, if you want to go ahead and put your finger on the fourth chapter of John, we're going there. And then we'll go over to, I believe it's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is where we'll go. So if you want to have your fingers in those three places, that'll give you a little bit of a head start, is what he'll try to do. Reading in the 18th chapter and the 18th verse, Moses wrote, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. That's reading verse 18 of the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy this morning. Going to the fourth chapter of John, you'll remember this chapter is the chapter about the Samaritan woman, is the main part of this chapter, and how that the Lord met her at the well, and that I believe she got saved there, and she went back into the town, and she said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Now, in verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. I knew I'd heard that before. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, going over to, I said 1 Timothy, it's 2 Timothy, excuse me. You shouldn't have to turn but a page or two. 2 Timothy, and I'm going to start reading with verse 9. And it says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, is what that scripture says. We'll probably go back to these two chapters later on, but especially we're starting out in the book of John this morning. And what it says here in the book of John, the last verse, and basically in the last phrase, this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And you might guess that that is going to be our thought today, is a Savior. The Savior is maybe what I should call it, the Savior, because there is no other Savior but Jesus Christ, our Lord. Much of the world today has many ideas as to about all kinds of saviors in the world. I read a little piece the other day, as I was looking up definitions for this, Noah Webster, he says that a savior is one that saves or preserves. He said, but properly applied only to the Lord. Now, the portion that I didn't write down as far as the definition, he said George Washington, this was his, that's what is in his 1829, I believe it is, edition. George Washington was a saver, S-A-V-E-R,
not a savior. I think many people in the early colony days, when it come to the Revolutionary War, they thought, and they're probably very right, without the help of George Washington, the United States would not have been formed. And because of that, they considered him much like a savior in that day. But there's only one real savior. I realize there is a lot of different religions that are out there in the world. But the fact of the matter is, there's only one real Savior, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I like to put it that way. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the Savior of us all. Now, the background of this message, I took you over to Deuteronomy, where that Moses said there that the Lord would raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. Now, this was a prophecy that Moses was preaching to them about, of the Son of God coming, our Savior. In that day, the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt. And you can find many different places in the Bible that talks about how that he was that Savior and how that it accomplished by the hand of God through Moses. Now, in this today, I want you to keep in mind something. Moses was a man, just like us. But God had a purpose for him coming into the world. Now, I want to give you some ideas today to think about if you haven't thought about them already. Many people do not realize how that Moses came to be. First of all, Moses was a man that was born into basically bondage in Egypt. He was in bondage in the fact that the people of Israel, the Israelite nation themselves, had been put into bondage. They were slaves unto the Egyptians. They were brickmakers most of the time, is what their purpose was. But they was getting to be so blessed by God Almighty that their population had gotten so big in that day that Pharaoh's people started saying, they're going to overtake us. They're going to overrun us. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to be overtaken by these people, Israel. So they decided to kill off every male child that was born. And Moses was born during this time. Now, his mama, being a just woman and thinking to save her child, his family hid that baby for a while. Now, it was not just the idea of Moses' mother and father to hide him, but it was God's purpose that he was hid for a little while. And what they did, they hid him until he was, I guess, almost weaned was what he was about the age of. But he was getting at the age where that they could not hide him anymore. So they made an ark out of bulrushes, and they floated him in the Nile River, and he was found of Pharaoh's daughter, is what the scripture said. And as he was, she found him, she had compassion on the child, and she brought him into the house, and she raised him just like he was her own, is what she did. And in doing that, he stayed in Pharaoh's house for 40 years. During that time, he realized who he was, and the scripture said that he went out and he looked upon his people. And he saw the bondage that they were in. He saw the trouble that they were having. He saw the things that were happening to them in this slavery. And you might as well say, he took matters into his own hand one day, and he slew an Egyptian man. And he thought he'd been hit. He'd done it secretly. But unbeknownst to him, just like every sin that any of us ever does, God knows about it, and usually somebody else does. And when somebody brought it up to him, he knew that he was in trouble, He knew that he was subject to the judgment, even though that he was considered to be the prince of Egypt. So he ran for his life, and he got off into the desert land of Midian, and there he saw a woman that he fell in love with, and he started helping and abiding sheep for 40 years is what he did. And while he was in his 40th year of doing this, then he saw something that he never saw before, and that was a bush that was burning, but it kept on burning. It didn't just burn up, it kept burning. And he went to see about it, is what the Bible says about it. And when he got there, God started talking to him out of that bush. And when he got to that bush, God called him to go back into Egypt and to deliver my people. Now, if you go back to the word Savior, in the Hebrew word, what it means is to make safe. It means to bring them out. If you look at it in the Greek version, the word means a deliverer. And that was what Moses' job was for the children of Israel. He was to make a way or to deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt and to make them safe in their own land that God had promised them, the promised land of Canaan. Now that's a quick rundown of what happened with Moses. And what he was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ himself. Yes, he was a shadow of Jesus Christ himself. How can a man be a shadow of something as great as God? You see, the Bible gives us many times things that are shadows, they're resemblances of things that God is going to do in purpose. And what God said unto Moses after that he had delivered the children of Israel out of that place, he said, Moses, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. I'm going to tell you, he was a prophet like Moses was. He was a deliverer. He was one that was going to make his people safe. Now the children of Israel had in mind that he was going to come and he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel like David did. But God is a spirit, and he seeketh those to worship him in spirit and truth. So when Jesus came into this world, it was not for the purpose of restoring the kingdom of Israel in this world. No, his purpose was that he would come into the world to save sinners. That was the words of Jesus. He said, I came to save sinners, is what he said. In one place, when they had healed someone, he told them, he said, they that are sick need not a physician, but they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick are the ones that needs a physician. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, when Jesus was preaching to the people of Samaria in that place, he first spoke it to the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, as we call her so many times. And as he revealed himself unto her in that day, he told her about herself. He told her about her sin. You know, when the children of Israel first went down into Egypt, they were not in bondage. Actually, they were favored of the king himself down in that place. They were put into a particular area to take care of the stock of Pharaoh, to take care of their own flocks even. That was their purpose, because they were Joseph's brethren is what they did. But there came a time when they fell out of favor. If you go and look at Psalms 106, it says that it was caused of them to hate the children of Israel.
Brother Sam talked about hating in his lesson today. But the Bible says that the people of Egypt came to hate the children of Israel. But God sent Moses into this land to deliver them. So what did God do? He, in his mightiness, he saw the sin of mankind. He saw your sin. He saw my sin. He saw all of these people around us. He saw all of our sin, and not only those that are around us, but he saw the sins of Adam all the way from every man, woman, and child, all the way down through now. And he saw all of those sins. And as Brother Sam said, God hates sin. God hates sin. So there needed to be a deliverer. Did God send Jesus to be a deliverer of the body? No, he did not. As I said earlier, God is a spirit. God seeks those that will worship him in spirit and truth. I believe what God wants man to do is to put the body aside in every service and to bring it down to the soul, our spirit, to actually worship God. When we go to heaven, yes, we'll have a body likened unto the fashion of God, but I want to remind you that Jesus came through the door that day, and he walked in among them without opening the door. So he was both flesh and spirit at the same time. That sounds a little bit hard to understand, but the idea is Jesus came to be our Savior, our deliverer, as Moses came into this world. Moses came into the world speaking the words of God that he gave them. He came to them at Mount Horeb, and God spoke to him face to face. He even gave him two tablets of stone that had the commandments of God upon them. The handwriting of God, even, is what the Bible says in that place. And he brought it back to the children of Israel, and he said, these are the words of God that you need to have in your life. You need to abide by them, those words. Now, going back to 2 Timothy today, I know I'm bouncing you around a little bit, but I want you to get, what we read in 2 Timothy in the first chapter. He said, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. When God goes to save a soul, do you know there's a calling there? There sure is. There is a calling. I can remember when I was a boy and I came to the knowledge that I was a sinner. I was basically the same thing as the children of Israel was. I was down in Egypt. I was in bondage. I was a slave to sin. You'll find that throughout the scripture. And being in bondage and a slave to that sin, I couldn't deliver myself. You know, the children of Israel, they might have got together and they might have fought for a little while against the nation of Egypt. But truthfully, even if they'd had greater numbers, if they had fought on their own, they would not have been able to deliver themselves one whatsoever. But Paul writes, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now, if you go back and you look at the children of Israel, why did God choose the children of Israel? Well, I'm talking about the ones in Egypt. Well, God chose them because they were Abraham's seed. Was that why that they were delivered? Yes, it was a great reason, because God had made a promise to them that he would give them that land of promise, is what he did. But was it because they were more than anybody else? No, actually, they were fewer than number
than all the other nations? Was it that they were more righteous than anybody else? Oh, if you go back and look at them, you'll see they was pretty much typical, excuse me, like we are today. They were sinners. They were doubters. They were lazy people. They were people that were not willing to work even for the Lord himself much of the time. They were also, I'm going to put it this way, they were hypocrites to a great extent. They were hypocrites in that they said they loved the Lord, that they'd follow the Lord, they'd obey his law. And when it got down time where that Moses was gone for 40 days, what'd they do? Hey, Aaron, we don't know what's happened to Moses. We don't know what's going on. Make us a God to go before us. Does that not sound like us as people today? Oh, when things get tough at church, you know what happens? People start dropping out, don't they? Yeah, they'll start dropping out. They'll start going off to other places. Well, I'll go over here to this church, and it'll seem like it'll be better over there. But I'm going to tell you, I'm one of these people that believes you, if you've got the truth, you better stick with the truth, is what I'm telling you. Because the truth will set you free. It will not only set you free, but like Paul preached, as Brother Tom talked today about the Philippian jailer. When Paul preached to him, he said, if thou believe on the Son of God, you shall be saved and thy household. He was telling him, I've got faith, and if you'll trust in the Lord, you'll be saved, and not only you, but you and your household. They're all going to believe. If you want your children saved, you better keep them where the truth is. Amen. I want you to understand something today. It's important for us to hold on to the truth of God and a Savior that will save. Amen. I want you to understand today what he said, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, is what he says, and grace. You know, it is by grace we are saved, isn't it? It's by the grace of God that we're still standing here today. It's by the grace of God that I'm able to take a breath. But he's got a purpose in you breathing. You know that? And it's not just to stay alive. It is to give honor and glory to God. Listen to what he said. For according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, this doctrine of salvation, this opportunity to be saved, was given by God to mankind even before the world began. You see in Revelation, I think it's in the 5th chapter, where it said that Jesus was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You mean when Adam needed a covering? When he needed something to cover his nakedness? Truthfully, that was his sin. He wasn't talking about these private parts. He was talking about this. When he needed something to cover, there was a lamb that was slain that he might be saved. And so when God told Moses, I'm bringing up a prophet likened unto you that's going to teach these people all my ways. He's going to do all of these things. He's going to establish my church in this land while he's there. He's going to put all of these things into place for a purpose. And there is a purpose that each and every one of us is here today. Not only to be saved, but to serve Jesus Christ our Lord. But he says, but now. I like that, now. I preached a little bit on now a few times. But it's truthful. We need to use that word more and more all the time. Now is what it says. Paul said, but now he is manifest to us. In other words,
He is manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, today, when Jesus came into this world as that prophet, likened unto Moses, that delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know what he did? He brought them back out of that nation. Egypt is always a symbol of being a sinner. Yes, it's a symbol of being a sinner. And he said, now God has made this manifest to you. What does manifest mean? It means to enlighten, to make it visible, to make it where that you can see it. And that's what Paul was preaching to these people. God has made you a Savior, and now he has made him visible to you. Now he has done that. Now I want to back up just to now one right quickly and to get you one other verse, because I think it needs to go right hand in hand with this today. When that Paul was preaching to the Corinthian letter, and he was talking and he said, and now is the time of salvation. Did I say Savior? It's different, isn't it? Now is the time of salvation. It's similar in that Savior talks about the one that is the deliverer. But saved, that word means safe. So does salvation. It means safe. And the way I like to put it is the way Jesus put it in the 10th chapter of John, when Jesus said, my Father, which is greater than all, has us in his hands, and no man can pluck us out of his hands. We are safe there. Amen. How many of you remember the times maybe when a thunderstorm was coming around? You was a child and you was thinking about how bad that storm was. And maybe mama or daddy just took you up into their arms and they embraced you and you felt safe. All the storm was still going on, but you were safe. You see, this is what the Savior does. He says, for our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Hey, wait a minute. Abolished death? Weren't you talking about somebody dying a while ago? Yeah, I was. Death will reign in this world, won't it? But for those that are saved, there is an abolishing of the death that is in us. And what that means is we are no more dead in our trespasses and sin. We are no more in that condition of where that we are dead to God. What does it mean to be dead to God? I'm going to use the terms of our young people today. When that they used to say this way, she said, you're dead to me. In other words, they put them aside. To a friend, maybe a so-called friend, they'd say, you're dead to me. You're no longer one of my friends. I'm going to put you aside. You're no longer one of me. You know, when you're a sinner, you're separated from God. You're off to the side. Yeah, you're still loved by God, but you're not one of his. And because you're not one of his, you're cast off to the side. And when there comes that time in which you are found in judgment, and I want you to understand, the time of judgment on this is the moment you reach eternity. And when you reach eternity is when you leave this body. And you go out into eternity, that's death becoming visible to you. You die physically. Death is separation. He said he abolished death, though. You know what he did when he saved my soul? He made me alive. He put life in me. My soul was dead. It was dead in trespasses and sin, is what the scripture tells us.
but he made me alive. I mean, this body was already, it was already kicking, it was already running, it was already doing a lot of things, but my soul was dead in those sins, just like the people of Israel were down there in bondage to sin in Egypt when Moses went down there to bring them out. You see, Jesus, when he came into this world, he was that like prophet that came to this world to come, to live, to die, and without sin. But when he died, he took our sins upon him. And when he took our sins upon him, he became our Savior. He became our deliverer, is what he became. And he hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Okay, light. My granddaughter came to us and she used the same story as Brother Sam used last week for the children about the jack-o'-lantern. How that we take the top off of it and clean that out of the jack-o'-lantern the other day is what Brother Sam says. But he said when we make that jack-o'-lantern, we put the smile on it, but we put a light on the inside. You see, God takes all of that sin, that gunk, as I think Brother Sam used it the other day, and he took all of that out. He took all of our sins out. Amen. And he put a light in there. Now, I know I'm taking this a little bit backwards because he talked about immortality first. And I want you to see that light first. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, first of all." And if you're the light of the world, you need to put your light on the candlestick. And that's the church, is one thing I have to say to that. But he said, "Put your light on that candlestick," is what he said, so that others might see that light. Now, when you're in the church, that's not the only place for your light to shine. It needs to shine everywhere that you go. You remember the little children's song? I ain't heard the kids sing in a while. Sister Heather, I'd love to hear them sing, even if it's this little song here. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine," is what it says. We are to allow the light of God that he's put in our hearts to be seen of all of everyone that is about us. He said, immortality? I go back to the old movies, you know. You know, it was always something that some villain wanted to have was immortality. He wanted to live forever. You know those people today that still says they want to live physically forever? I've heard stories that through this AI stuff, that some of the billionaires that are out there, they're planning on taking their physical minds and putting it in some sort of a robot so that they can live forever. They won't live forever. They just need to get saved. Because what he promised to us, was life everlasting. That's immortality. And that immortality is not just while we're down here on this earth, but when we leave this body and we go on to be with God, we'll live forevermore with him. And that is not only going to be just life, but it's going to be a joyful life. It's going to be a wonderful life. It's going to be a life that we can't even describe it now. What was the words of our Lord? "I have not seen, ears have not heard, what the Lord hath in store for us." All of that comes through that great Savior that we have today. Okay, that's going to be our message today. Thank you for your attention today. If you don't know that Savior today, I want you to take this to heart today. If you do not know this Savior, you need to meet him. I'm going to do my best to introduce you. I've tried to introduce you to him today. It's what I'm going to do.
But the best way you can meet him is to try to talk to him. Now, I've never met anybody real famous. I've had a few people that I thought, you know, I respected a lot. And somebody told me today they was a little bit bashful. I am too in a lot of ways. Yeah, right. I did. I used to be real bashful. But the idea of going up to somebody and introducing myself, that I think a lot of, that's hard for me to do. When I meet you out here at church, I know that's what I'm supposed to do, and I do. But if it's somebody famous, you know, I'm not the type that's going to just go up and introduce myself, talk to them. The most famous person that you'll ever meet is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And what you need to do is you need to introduce yourself to him. Brother Keith, pardon me one more minute. I'm going to give you a little recitation that I heard. And I'm not going to do the entire thing. There was a little boy back in Depression days. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a home. He was an orphan. He didn't have anything in life. But he went to a big church one day just to warm up, is what he thought. And he heard the preacher talking about Jesus. And he heard the preacher say, "You just tell Jesus who you are." Well, when they gave the altar call, the little boy went down to the altar and he started praying and he said, "Jesus, this is Jimmy. Preacher went down to him. He said, "Son, you just talked to him about your soul." He said, "I need to tell him who I am." Well, somebody got ashamed of the little boy crying out to the Lord, and they said something to him, and he went out not saved. He got out in the street, and a car hit him. Preacher took him up in his arms and put him in a car, and they rushed him to the hospital. And as the doctors was working on him, old preacher said, "Son, you talk to the Lord." He done it the only way it could. "Jesus, this is Jimmy. Jesus, you might say, well, that's not a sinner's prayer." But that little boy wanted the Lord to know who he was. The Lord already knew who he was. But he wanted him to know his heart. "Jesus, this is Jimmy." Ooh, I hadn't thought about that in a long time. While we stand and sing, you introduce yourself to Jesus today while we sing.
285. Number 285.